Skyscrapers, please forgive me. I didn't mean a word I said. Skyscrapers, I was just tangled up in my own head.
Hello, and welcome to Unfrozen. I'm Dan Safarik.
And I'm Greg Lindsay, joining you once again, Dan, from still snowy Montreal. Not snow on the ground, but snow in the air, at least here in the Western Hemisphere. But we have a special guest joining us this week from half a world away. I think it's fair to say we have our first prodigy on the podcast.
I would dare say we do. This is Chung Sub Lee, is joining us from South Korea. Chung Sub is 14 years old, but he has already made quite a splash in the tall building world and the urban design world by becoming the world's greatest super fan of skyscrapers. And not just a super fan, but a designer. He's got an incredible array of designs that he's already put out. He's gone from hand drawings to renderings that look pretty sophisticated, more or less like those of the professionals. And as a consequence, he's gotten to meet some of those professionals, including James von Klemperer, who's the president of KPF, Cohn Pedersen Fox, and a number of other luminaries around the world. We're very honored to have him on today. Hello, Chung Sub.
Oh, hello. Well, it is so honored to be here.
Well, we're very glad to have you. Chung Sub's been to the office for the Council on Tall Buildings in Chicago a couple of years ago, and we're hoping to be able to get him over to Chicago again for our international conference, which would be very exciting. But let's go back to the beginning of how all this started. Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in skyscrapers in the first place.
Yeah, well, it is a long story, and it is about like 8 years ago, when I was six, I was at elementary school library, and luckily, I found a magazine about top five skyscraper in the world, and like it looked so interesting for me. And since that time, I started sketching many skyscrapers and learned about like structure systems, and also designed my own buildings. So that's how I became interested in skyscraper for the first time.
And when did people start to recognize that, you know, these weren't just average drawings of a kid, you know, that these were pretty special?
Oh, I've never thought like my drawings were like special, but my dad thought it was special a little bit more than other kids stuff, so he called to like a TV program like named Finding Genius, and that's how I met James von Klemperer for the first time, and yeah, that's like the beginning of my architectural like turning point. And yeah, it is a lot of confidential for me.
That's amazing that you got to meet one of your heroes. You know, it's funny. I recall when I was actually a little bit younger than you, and I was in seventh grade, I wrote what I now regard as a very disturbing diary entry, but because I said I wanted to join Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, but I also said that I wanted to die by the time I was 55, which was a very strange thing for someone to say. But I was kind of a dark child, but I had early ambitions of joining a major architecture firm. And I think it's fair to say you're a lot farther ahead than I am. So I congratulate you on being able to meet some of your heroes. So when you met Jamie von Klemperer, and what did you guys talk about? What did you do?
Well, we talked about a lot of designs that I made. Most of them, as far as I remember, most of my drawings at that time was like a little bit childish, but he understand it, and he really supported me a lot, and he also taught me like a lot of structures, which is important to skyscrapers, and like he also said, visit New York again at 2016. So I visited New York again at 2019, and I also visited his office again, and yeah, we had a really great time, and yeah, that was like a precious experience for me.
That sounds extraordinary. You know, as you've had some, who else have you met? Tell us who else you've met.
Well, after I leave New York, I went to the Chicago. So I met, I visited ASGG, and I met Adrian Smith. Also, I met a lot of employees at that company, and like I ate dinner with them, with few of them, and also I visited Chicago's SOM, and when I went to Dubai at 2018, I've also met HOK and Killa Designs, and more of them, and also I've met some architects in Seoul, like as Jung Lim or like Seoul Architectures, and so there are really very many people who supported me, and I'm really thankful about it.
That is extraordinary. I think you may have met as many people as I have, and I've been working in this business for 9 years.
Thank you.
Well, Chainsaw, so, the question I have, sorry to jump in, Dan, is what do you want to be when you grow up in this case? I mean, you have a laundry list of people who can write referrals now for you to the Harvard Graduate School of Design or any other institutions. I'm curious, as someone who, you know, has a global scope, has met all these architects, I mean, is your goal in life to join a firm, become a partner, become a black clad architect? Or, you know, having seen at a young age before either Dan or I or almost anyone entering this field, seeing these professionals up close, how has it changed your notion of like what architecture as a practice is and what your career ambitions are from the perspective of a 14-year-old?
Oh, so like what I want to be in future, like maybe final goal is, well, first of all, I want to be like an architect in future. But like my another final goal is to also make my own company. Like well, it must be hard. But well, recently I saw the documentary about Bjarke Ingels, BIG company's creating process, and it sounded really interesting for me, and I thought that it'll be really fun and interesting than like just getting into some normal company and designing what my boss is doing. So like basically I just want to lead the people and make my own design. So I want to make my own company. Well, actually I didn't choose the name, so yeah, well, that is the like my final goal, actually. Yeah,
I like it. You pretty much share the dream of virtually everyone who goes into architecture school, but you have a good 10-year head start on them. And you know the definition of a young architect in this business, you can be almost 50 and be considered a young architect. So I think you stand a very good chance of achieving this dream.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
So how did you come to learn about some of the more complex technical aspects of these buildings? Because, you know, many, many kids, I mean, this is stuff that a lot of architects don't know about. How did you learn about some of the more technical aspects of skyscraper construction?
Well, I saw a lot of book about skyscraper and architecture's structural evolution, and I also saw a lot of information about many structure researches, which are made by CTBUH and universities. And now I'm looking at like how to read symbols in floor plan and learning about details of the MEP layer. Also, the structures of most of my skyscraper projects are like similar to those ordinary skyscrapers, but some projects consist of structure that I've created, like for example, like Tower of Purification that I've made. And I will make more of my own own structure in the future. Yeah.
I mean, that's really extraordinary. You know, and again, you have a sort of a technical advantage over many, not only of your age peers, but a lot of the professionals in the industry. So that's great. So now let's see, I don't totally understand the education system in Korea. Do you have, how many years of high school do you now have before you're ready to go to university?
Well, high school before university, well, there is 3 years of high school, and like for me, I didn't graduate middle school yet. So, well, there is still a lot of time before the university. Yeah. Like, so 4 years left from now.
Okay. Well, you can get your applications ready and polished and reviewed by pretty much the entire who's who of the industry before you even have to worry about where you're applying. Do you have a school in mind? Do you want to come to the US or the UK or stay in Korea or go somewhere else?
It may change over time, but I want to go to one of the Ivy League universities in the US because if I go abroad and learn architecture, I think the scope of building design and learning will be more freestyle than Korea, and also I can meet many and like various people, and I want to meet great professors in person and learn from them. Also, and the biggest reason is that most of the companies that I want to work in the future are located overseas, not in Korea. So I want to learn where there is a wider opportunity.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I can understand that. And so let's talk about some of the skyscrapers in Korea that you've, you know, had been able to spend more time around. Have you been to New Songdo City?
Oh, yeah. I've been to New Songdo City. Like, it was about 2 years ago.
What did you think of it?
Well, like when I first saw that city, well, I was quite shocked because in the Google, well, there was an image of the Songdo like 15 years ago. Well, before I was born, well, there was like just totally nothing, like as a Dubai, you know, like 1950s Dubai, there was nothing, but there were a lot of building after 60 years. So Songdo happened same thing, and there were a lot of building, and when I visited there in 2016, well, also, I visited the site of Incheon Tower and Infinity Tower, which is like more than 500 meters. And of course, it is canceled now and had to be stopped as a proposal. But Songdo has achieved a lot of economic growth and job creation since like about 10 years ago. And even without super tall skyscrapers, well, there is one super tall skyscraper named Neat Tower, but anyways, for me, Songdo still has a lot of potential for developments like Dubai, I think.
Well, Shanks, can you talk a bit more about that? So it's interesting to me to bring up Songdo because, I mean, number one, that's a Jamie Von Klemper plan. I interviewed him 15 years ago now. Wow, I can literally say before you were born, I interviewed Jamie Von Klemper about the master plan for Songdo International Business District. And it was interesting because the team of KPF architects who were mostly working on that were Americans. I remember touring it that summer with an American who, I forget his name, so I can't speak off the record about it, but was complaining that the client, which was POSCO, you know, one of the big chaebols of Korea, had pushed back on their efforts to build a more, you know, Western style city because Songdo IBD was supposed to cater to Westerners based in Korea. And I'm curious, Chungseo, I mean, you know, can you talk a bit about, I guess, where you live and your idea of what urbanism is? Because I think for our listeners who are very much North American, they very much have a conception of either like, I mean, Dan is literally in Chicago where the skyscraper was invented and what most Americans would say is what a downtown big city should feel like. And I think, you know, seeing Seoul and the super blocks and, you know, the high-rise vertical living that so many Koreans live in is very different. Americans, I think, would find actually much of Seoul to be, I don't know, repellent is probably too strong a word, but they would find it very alien. And so I'm curious, like, how you think of yourself as an aspiring Korean architect and resident of Korea and what cities should be? Because, like, this is the moment. You're literally the next generation. Like, you will design the final build out of human cities is going to happen this century. Like, no pressure on you or anything, but I'm curious, like, you know, what lessons does Korea have to offer the world, and what Korean urbanism should be and how that translates? A lot of questions, I know.
Well, first of all, like, I think the big difference between New York City and Korea is, there is also like a building style, but like New York has like a freedom style, like the building looks like a freestyle, and like you can't recognize which building is like has what use, like the office building looks like has a kind of weird design, and like hotel building doesn't look like a hotel. Like, I mean, I'm not meaning just like a blue glass building, but like, I mean, overall cityscape. But in Korea, the location of building and like central business district is really good, but the every building style looks same. Cause like, okay, for example, like school, every school looks same. Like, there is no difference. It is fourth floor and L shaped, and there is a playground. Like more than wider than the school building, and also like the apartments, it looks all same. Like it is like box shape, and I think it designed by like a SketchUp noob user. So what I mean is that the think of every Korean society looks like they're thinking like same way. Like it is related about the Korean history, but maybe the story will be too long. So, anyways, what I'm talking about is the Korea needs difference. Like, for example, the park. Yeah. For New York, like there is park per every like less than 1.5 kilometer, but in Seoul, the park is located like per every like 5 kilometer, and there is no even parking lot, which means like the park architect don't want people to come. Like it is like so ineffectable. Like it is not comfortable. So that is the really bad thing of Korea, but. Like, I mean, there is also good thing, but, still needs more generation, I mean, yeah.
It kind of sounds like you're saying that, you know, Korea built all of a sudden at once, and as a result, there was a lot of standardization.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and a lot of buildings look similar for that reason. I remember some people saying that their observation was that a lot of the exteriors of buildings all have this same green tile. Yeah, Do you notice that?
Yeah, I think I've heard about it. Yeah.
But at the same time, you have some very exciting skyscrapers that are in many ways more adventurous, I think, than what we find in the States. So it's kind of interesting how that division occurs. You know, I think that, you know, it seems like a lot of Asian cities want to have a few very iconic skyscrapers, and cost is really no objective. Whereas, you know, I think in North America, we are very concerned about the economic performance of the skyscraper, or even, you know, any kind of development. So the design can be somewhat conservative. But it's interesting to hear you say you feel that it's almost the opposite, that the general design culture in Korea seems more conservative to you.
Yeah, that's true. Like, well, I thought about that. Like, in America, there are very brilliant people like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Elon Musk and many more. But in Korea, there is no other person. Like, though Koreans are saying, like, we are, like, good at math, we are good at science, than like, Western people. Like, I mean, I don't think like that, but most of people think that Asian is smarter than, like, Western people. But anyways, the reason that is that there is no, like, brilliant people, I think, because is they are thinking, like, same with others. So because our society looks so similar with others, so, and school makes us like think similar, so like there is no space to think difference with between others. So I think the society is really related to architecture and urban design, so I think it is really important.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because although, you know, I think that we have to, in some ways, respect the ways that cultures have formed, and the architecture should reflect those cultures. What do you think about the ability of architecture to affect cultures, that is, to maybe change the way things are? Do you think that you could design something, or that you could be part of a team that designs part of a city or even a whole city that might influence or change the entrepreneurialism of the culture, the level of individualism, the kinds of things you're talking about?
Oh, well, yeah, well, soon. Well, actually, like, my next project is related to the Seoul's urbanism problem. Like, I was trying to fix, like, I mean, I was trying to design my own cityscape. And so first of that project was like a school. Yeah. So I was trying to change the school shape, like not like a normal school shape. So like, I mean, I'm not trying to make school shape like as Zaha Hadid, but at least the school that is different with others, and where kids can think more wider than like just other place. I was like trying to make that difference.
Well, taking something related to that is related to the culture question. I mean, the question that hangs over this for me is, you know, Dan and I are, I mean, we're two generations removed from you. You're so much younger than us. And, you know, I think to Dan's point earlier, right, you could be a young architect in your 40s or 50s, let alone 14. I'm curious, Jason, as a 14-year-old, as a young person who's coming up in this, like, what do you make looking at the world, and particularly in architecture and the built environment, in terms of, like, where do you think cities have gone wrong, or where do you think your generation is going to have to fix? I mean, I don't think it must be easy for you growing up into a world of climate change and, I mean, whatever other geopolitical risks you think about there on the Korean peninsula as well. I mean, again, I know you're only a teenager, but I'm curious, like, what sits in your mind that Dan and I aren't thinking about, because we're just so much older than you, frankly.
Well, So like, first of all, when I become an architect, I just want to only design, which is like not occurring the like a CO2. Like, I mean, I just want to only make the eco-friendly building, because like while I was participating the competition, I realized that like the climate change is like really, really, really a serious problem. And I know that it will lead us to like doomsday in like 2050. Yeah, as I heard. So I really think it must be changed at our generation. And I believe like something building that is part of the solution of the greener planet is like will be 100% feasible, like, because like even there are many skyscrapers for the earth in the competition that I participated in, and I also made a project to purify the earth, like named Tower of Purification, as I told about. Also, as technology continues to develop, I believe that like crazy earth conservation projects will be built someday and must be built someday. Yeah.
Well, your optimism is refreshing, and I think we very much need it. So I'm really pleased to hear all this from you today. So we are almost out of time on our broadcast, but I would like to thank you very much for joining us at a late hour in Korea. And I hope that we will get to talk to you and hopefully meet you again soon.
Oh yeah, me too. I had a really great time, and like it was a big honor for me.